let's get started. We only have an hour, so I was telling Georgia I like to get right into it. So, Father God, we just invite you into our service tonight, Lord, because, God, we want you to have your will be done in here tonight in our lives. So, Holy Spirit, come and remove anything in us, Lord God, that needs to be removed. I thank you for this word, Father God. I ask that you bless it. I thank you, Lord God, that you care about us and you want to make everything right, Father God, in our lives. And I just thank you and I worship you, Lord, for all that you're doing and that all for all you continue to do in us, Lord God. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Tonight I'm going to be speaking on believing the truth and not a lie. This is something the Lord just kind of put on my heart a couple days ago. So I'm starting in Ezekiel 28:17, and this is talking about a king. I can't remember his name. It's like Tyra, something like that. But it's referring to Satan. So it says, your heart was proud and lifted up. So God is saying basically to Satan, your heart was proud and lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before kings that they may gaze at you. So Satan is a created being, just like everything else. We're all created by God. But he was more beautiful. He was brilliant, gorgeous in appearance and coloring than any other angelic being. But because of his beauty, pride was found in his heart. The pride of your heart has deceived you, is what it says in Obadiah 1:3. So pride was Satan's sin that caused him to be thrown to the earth. Satan said in his heart, Isaiah 14:13-14, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I also sit on the mount of the congregation of the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Looking good, whether in looks or position, can cause pride to enter into our hearts. And 2 Timothy, it tells us that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves, self-centered, lovers of money, arrogant, boastful, abusive, and disobedient to their parents. And all these things can cause a person to look down on others and think of themselves more highly than we ought to, because none of us are above anybody else. I don't care what position anyone is in, whether it be the president, we're all the same. We all hold different positions, and we need to honor those different positions, but we're still all the same in God's eyes. People want to compare themselves with other people, and when we compare ourselves to others, we're usually comparing their best features against our average ones. So without realizing, it's a mindset that can be self-destructive. But most importantly, it causes us to forget God. It causes us to forget who we are, especially those of us in Christ, when we're trying to compare ourselves with somebody else. You know, it can separate us from God because we get our focus on self rather than on God. And then we have a tendency to want to try to improve us instead of letting God work in us to improve us. So we have to be careful not to let these things that I just described mentioned here, comparing ourselves with others, even in the body of Christ, We shouldn't do that. God is our creator, the giver of life, and he positions us where he wants us to be. We don't step over God's ways. Once pride begins to develop in someone's heart, godly wisdom becomes distorted. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So it's the fear of the Lord. We always have to remember to reverence ourselves before God. We fear him first. And that's not in a bad way. It's fearing him, knowing even that he loves us. You know, knowing how much he loves us, you know, can cause us to have a humble type of fear towards him. So it says Satan corrupted his own wisdom. Corrupted wisdom leads to self-deception. Self-deception describes how easily we deceive ourselves and come up with our own ideas to redefine our bad decisions as good ones. That's self-deception. People will come up with excuses that appear to be acceptable to cover up their own bad behaviors or their own wrong choices. So the Bible teaches that Christians were once slaves to sin, but now we are slaves to righteousness. But that doesn't mean we let our guard down against sin. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, nor give place to the devil." The enemy can get a foothold if sin in your life is not dealt with. And in Acts 5:3 it says, "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie, to attempt to deceive the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?'" So Satan filled Ananias and Sapphira's heart to lie. But he didn't just fill them up on his own, okay? It was their desire within them that allowed Satan to fill them up. There was already junk in their heart that opened the door, that welcomed him to fill them up with sin. And sometimes our desires can be powerful and they can consume our thoughts. And so our thoughts, they can lead us to have wrong desires, and they can lead us to do tragic things that happened to Ananias and Sapphira. If I'm saying the name right, I'm not sure. So Satan will always try to persuade someone to sin in their weakest area of their heart. John 12:6 says about Judas Iscariot, "He did not say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief." He was already a thief at heart. As keeper of the money bag, he used it to help himself to what was put into it. So Judas was a thief. This is why Satan was able to use him to betray Jesus. He was easily persuaded to do what was already in him to do. So he has his own desires and thoughts. So we have to check our hearts and check to see what's lurking in us. Because sin in us, if it's a sin that we're dealing with, it's a welcome mat for the enemy to come in and wreak havoc in us. I mean, it already brought death. Even it brought death to Judas because he went and hung himself. So we have to be careful of our desires and our thoughts. In John 13:2, "And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray him," Jesus. So Judas's heart was already filled with deceit. David prayed, "Lord, search my heart. to see if there be any wicked way in me. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and show us if there's anything that is not truth living inside of us, okay? We don't want wrong desires or thoughts to live in us, to have any place in our hearts or any hold on us, over us. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and he guides us into all truth. He reveals to us truth, which is reality. The reality of God's wisdom and the knowledge of his word. Sin is not reality. Sin is a lie. John 17, and I'll get into that. John 17, 17 says, sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. Truth is the self-expression of God. And as the Holy Spirit works in us, we become more aware of the truth and we recognize the lies of the devil. We know that it is wrong to sin, but God tells us it's not true. Sin is not true. True, in the biblical sense, means that which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. Wrong means not correct or true. It's incorrect without accuracy. It's a miss. It's a miss of the mark. Sin is transgression against God's truth. And transgression is the act that goes against a rule, a law, or a code of conduct, an offense. So when we act on sin, we are acting on a lie. We act on something that is false. So the opposite of true is false. God cannot sin or be tempted by evil. If he were to, it would be a lie. But God is not a man that he should lie. It's impossible for God to lie. We are faithless, but he remains faithful. And God is not tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. In 1 John 3:4, it says, everyone who commits, practices sin, is guilty of lawlessness. For that is what sin is, lawlessness, the breaking, violating of God's law by transgression or neglect, being unrestrained and unregulated by his commands and his will. The law was given through Moses. Because of the law, the people became aware of their sin. Without the law, they would not have known what sin is against the reality of truth. Jesus came and did away with the law, and grace and truth came through him. That means we're no longer following a bunch of rules and regulations because now we're following truth. When we follow the truth, we're following Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He gives grace. His grace gives us the power to walk in rightness of the truth. The first sin in the world evolved a lie, which was told to Eve. It's a lie. It's not reality. God's truth is reality. I hope you guys are getting this, because it is powerful. Satan is a liar. John 8:44 says, you belong to the father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So Satan deceived Eve. He lied to her, and she believed his lies. Then she gave to her husband, Adam, and he also participated in that lie. And I thought about this, and I could be way off on this, but it's just, what I thought about was, he deceived Eve first. And Eve is a woman. And women carry babies, okay? And it just kind of, I thought, wow, Lord, here Eve is a woman, and we carry, not that Satan is a creator of anything, because he's not, but the seed of the sin was like in her, and she gave to her husband. And where Jesus, on the other hand, Mary was a woman, and the Holy Spirit hovered over her, covered her, and she conceived Jesus. And sin came somewhere, came from somewhere. We know it came from Satan and in his heart. So he already gave himself over to that, but he took it to Eve first, who's the woman. And she is the one that you give birth. The woman is the one that gives birth, you know. And she gave birth to Cain and Abel with the help of Adam, though. And it just kind of, I don't know. It's just something I thought about, and I thought I'd share that. So Satan had to persuade Eve in her heart to doubt the truth of God. He had to convince her through her thoughts and her mind. That's why Satan attacks our mind. That's why we have to renew our mind constantly. We have to be aware, watchful, and on guard of the flaming arrows of the enemy against our mind, taking every thought captive under the obedience of Christ. Because it's a lie. Paul was concerned for the church when he said in 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But now I am fearful, lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ." So Paul's concerned about the church of Corinth because of all the deception going on through false prophets, false teachings, and so he's concerned, and he's warning them, you know, don't let the deception overtake you. Don't be deceived by it, but know the word of God. Know the truth of God. So Satan, it says in Matthew 24:4, "For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect." So that's what is happening in the last days. Satan is trying to deceive us. Satan's signs and wonders, his false prophets, it's all lies. It's all lies. His signs, his wonders, it's all based on lies. Nothing is truth in him. We will recognize those who are not of God, because in 1 John 4:6, whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. So even the ones that are deceptive, false prophets, false teachers, we'll know them. We will know them as long as we're in tune with the Holy Spirit and staying under the covering of God. We will know them. We don't have to fear, you know, about not knowing the truth. We stick close to God. Truth is our weapon against his lies, and we have to know the truth of God's word, having knowledge and understanding of it. So if we abide in the word, holding fast to his teachings and live in accordance with them, then we are truly his disciples, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. God will cover us, but we have to stick close to him. Amen. And we have to know the word of God. It's important, and I know I say that a lot, but it is very important, because people can even twist the word of God. They can twist it to make it whatever they want.
Yep, that's right.
And sometimes even when I'm studying the word of God, it's like I'll recognize things that, you know, different, the way it's worded in that. And it's like, whoa, you know, there's just a lot to it, you know. But the Holy Spirit teaches us and we learn, you know. But we really need to know, because just like when Satan tried to tempt Jesus and he kept using the word if, you know, to Jesus, but Jesus would speak the truth. You know, he knew the Father's truth. He knew the word. So I just want to encourage you guys to know that Satan is always attacking our minds. He's always going to try to give us falseness, lies, fill our minds with lies. But we have to reject those lies. And we have to speak the truth as our weapon against him. So use your weapon of truth against him. So, Father God, I just thank you and I praise you and I glorify you, Lord God. Because you do love us and you care about us. You warn us, Lord God. You teach us and you show us the lies and the tricks of the enemy. Lord, it is not your will that you would lose any, Lord God, but that all might be saved. And Father God, if they don't know the truth, Lord God, there is no hope for those who are lost. So, Lord God, I just ask, Lord God, that as we lean and sink into you, into your word, and to know you more, Lord God, that we would be able to share that truth with those who don't know the truth, Father God. And, Lord, I just thank you and I praise you. And, Father, I just bind the enemy. I bind the enemy over this territory. I bind his lies. I take every thought captive that is not in line with the truth over people's lives. We pull it down in the name of Jesus by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Lord, I just thank you, Lord God, that you are working in us, that we might go out and share for you, Lord God, that we might be shining lights, a lighthouse to this city, Father God. And Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would go into every home in this region, Father God, and touch every person, Father God. May they have an encounter with you to know you, Father God. I ask, Lord God, that you will remove all the fog, Lord God, all the junk, Lord God, that is in the air, Lord God, from the enemy, Lord God. Cause that to go away, to vanish, Father God, that the glory of the Lord might freely be upon us, Father God, with no hindrance, Father God. We thank you and we praise you. And we give you all the glory and honor, Lord God, because you sit on the throne, Lord Jesus. You sit on the throne. Father God, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And great is your name and greatly to be praised. I glorify you, Father God. I magnify your name. And we surrender to you tonight, Lord God. We surrender ourselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Search our hearts, Father God. May they be right before you, God. May they be acceptable and pleasing to you, our thoughts, Father God. May our thoughts, Lord God, and the words and the meditations of our heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. Make us right, Lord God. Cause us, Father, to be right before you. I thank you, Jesus, for the finished work of the cross. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are making us more and more like Jesus, little by little, from glory to glory, Father God. I thank you, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would take each one of us here tonight and draw us closer to Jesus. Help us to learn his ways. Teach us his ways. Show us his ways. Help us to live out his ways. He is God. He is King, and he is Lord. And I thank you and I praise you. Oh, Russian.